Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Stories told about a small town that only had one church and no barber shop. So to stem the tide, the preacher pastored the little Bible church during the week became the town barber. In this little town lived a successful man who decided that he wanted to show off his wealth a little by getting a daily shave at the pastor's barber shop. Now when the preacher had to go out and visit the sick and shut-ins, his wife Grace picked up the shears and razoring responsibilities. And it just so happened that Grace was holding fort when the successful man came in for his first shave, and shave him she did. "How much do I owe you?" he asked Grace, and she said, "That'll be $25. It seemed a little steep. The man paid up and left the shop feeling very successful. The next morning he woke up and rubbed his chin, and his face was as smooth as it was the day before. The same thing happened the next morning, and then the following morning, and the next two. Perplexed, the successful man went back to the barber shop and asked how he kept his clean-shaven look. This particular day, the pastor was in, and his answer to the successful man's question was, "Friend, you were shaved by grace, and once shaved, always shaved." And that's the truth of the Bible. We're saved by grace, and once saved, always saved. Having heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And trusting that, we are saved and we are secure in Christ. For whatever the reason, many don't like the teaching of once saved, always saved. But it is the plain, undeniable teaching of this passage of Scripture, and we should rejoice in it. Our eternal security is one of our spiritual blessings in Christ. Ephesians 1:8-9 says, "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." God saves us by his grace, and his grace is lavished and abounded toward us in this. And his grace is also abounded toward us in giving us wisdom and prudence, verse 8 teaches. Wisdom speaks of knowledge and understanding concerning the things of God, his overall will, his word, his divine plans and purposes for the ages, the understanding of ultimate things such as life and death, God and man, eternity. Prudence speaks of insight into this wisdom as far as its relevance to your life, or a practical understanding leading to a right course of action for how we should live. And we can have wisdom and prudence concerning the things of God, because God, by his grace, has abounded his grace towards us and making known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will isn't that God's will is sometimes mysterious or somehow that you can't figure it out. It's a clear, plain body of truth that God has fully revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. The mystery of his will is the sacred secret, once hidden but now made known, fully revealed. And this revelation through Paul reveals God's will and gives us the full picture of God's plans and purposes for mankind, for both the earth and for the heavens. We have the full picture now. The mystery of his will gives us wisdom concerning the things of God and in our understanding of the Word of God. It reveals what God is doing today so that we can live in prudence, giving us insight, practical understanding for how we should live by grace for the church today. God, according to his grace, has granted us understanding and insight into the master plan, his master plan, by making known unto the body the mystery of his will. And this mystery reveals that God has temporarily set aside Israel and his plans and purposes for her, and reveals God's plans and purposes for today for the body of Christ. It reveals our heavenly hope and our heavenly calling. It reveals Christ's heavenly ministry as the head of the body, which we see so clearly in the book of Ephesians and in all of Paul's letters. Not only are our great riches in Christ revealed to us in the book of Ephesians, but also the revelation of the mystery is revealed to us in clarity and fullness. Paul states the mystery was not made known in other ages in chapter 3, verse 5, but that now it has been made known, as we see here in verse 9. And in chapter 3, verse 3, that it was made known by Christ revealing it to Paul, and then Paul making it known to the church. And now God, according to chapter 3, verse 9, desires all men to see and understand what is the revelation of the mystery. And Paul prays for boldness to proclaim it later in this letter, and so we should do the same. God has revealed the mystery of His will to His church in His word according to His good pleasure, according to His kindness. It pleases Him to abound His grace toward us. And He abounds His grace towards us in revealing His eternal plans and purposes. It's one of our spiritual blessings to know the mystery of His will and His plans and purposes for the heavenlies. And for those of us who have seen it, it is definitely a blessing for our life as we understand God's word more fully. And regarding God's overall eternal plans and purposes, Ephesians 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Verse 10, we find out how God will sum up all things in Christ in the eternal state. The mystery of His will reveals God's plans and purposes for the heavenlies. The rest of God's word reveals God's plans and purposes for the earth. The distinction remains in eternity between those in heaven and those on the earth. As Paul speaks of those that are in heaven, reigning there, which is the body of Christ, us, and those reigning on the new earth in the eternal state, which is Israel and the prophetic saints. Paul says that at the end, in the fullness of times, at the ultimate consummation, all will be summed up in Christ. Christ will be over all. Christ will be in all. We'll all be one in Him. God's plan is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice something that's missing here. Paul says in Philippians 2:10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Those under the earth are not mentioned in the eternal state, and that is the unsaved of all ages who have no place and are not included in God's plans and purposes for eternity and are forever removed from His presence in the lake of fire. And that should break our hearts and give us a burden for the lost and unbelieving around us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Now this is in light of verse 10, in light of the fullness of times, the eternal state. And Paul says that in Christ, we, the body of Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, a heavenly inheritance according to Christ's predetermination and according to His purpose and His will. God predetermined that believers in the body of Christ would rule and reign in Christ over the heavenlies as their inheritance for all eternity. As adopted sons, as verse 5 talks about, we are heirs, and as heirs we have an inheritance, and our inheritance is heaven. Reservations have been made for each of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior. These reservations will never be canceled because we are secure in Christ. Our Lord in His earthly ministry said to the nation of Israel in His Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And that was Israel's hope and what they inherit. Whereas the body of Christ, we find that our inheritance is heaven, and that is our hope. Through Paul, Christ in His heavenly ministry tells the church, the body of Christ, "Blessed is the body for we will inherit the heavenlies. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. For eternity, the body of Christ will be to the praise of Christ's glory who first trusted in Christ. Christ will be glorified through us, His people, His church that have been purchased by His shed blood, who are holy and without blame because of Him and what He did for us at the cross. He's done such a glorious thing in us and saving us and blessing us, giving us an inheritance, and it's all cause for praise and glory going to our Savior. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13 tells you so simply how a sinner becomes a saint, how you get saved from your sins and have the hope of heaven. It's hearing the gospel and believing the gospel. And that's it. The gospel of salvation is the good news that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And by grace are we saved through faith. The moment we trust Christ and that gospel message, the Holy Spirit baptizes us, places us into Christ, into the body of Christ, makes us one with our Savior, and seals us there for eternity. The Holy Spirit Himself is the seal. We are sealed in Christ by the power of God, and nothing and no one is greater than God, so nothing can and nothing will ever break that seal. God keeps our soul and our salvation secure by His power. And just as in legal matters, a seal indicates ownership and authority, and so it does in salvation. By God's authority, the Spirit takes up residence, and we belong to God forever. In Esther chapter 8, verse 8, King Ahasuerus told Esther and Mordecai this, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. In Esther's day, when royal business was conducted and royal decrees were written, hot wax was placed on the document, and then they were sealed or imprinted with the king's signet ring. The king's seal signified that no one could reverse his decree. And likewise, at salvation, when we trust Christ, the Spirit is our seal. And so our salvation and what is written in God's Word about us being saved and belonging to God, no one can revoke that. By the sealing of the Spirit, it tells us that our salvation is irrevocable. God will not go back on His word. When we are saved, we are sealed, and we are God's forever, and nothing will ever change that fact. We are eternally secure in Christ, and once saved, always saved. During the first part of the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, no safety devices were used, and 23 men fell to their deaths. For the last part of the project, however, a large net, which cost $100,000, was employed and put up underneath the workers. At least 10 men fell into it and were saved. But the interesting thing is that 25% more work was accomplished when the men were assured of their safety. We are assured of our safety in God's Word. Knowing this should cause us to serve Him more with confidence, because we're not concerned about our eternal destiny, because we are right with God and in Christ forever. And we should be motivated to do more for Him because of His grace, the grace we learn about here, and resting and trusting in the truth of our eternal security. All of that is motivation for us to serve the Lord and do more for Him.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Colossians, the preeminence of Christ, is a hardcover 256-page commentary written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. As the head of the body, Christ holds the preeminent position in the church. This wonderful truth was a special revelation solely committed to the Apostle Paul.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Ephesians 1:14 further drives home our security when it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The Spirit is also the earnest of our inheritance. Putting earnest money down is a down payment, pledging and guaranteeing a purchase and completed transaction. So earnest here speaks of a down payment, a pledge, a guarantee. The fact that every believer possesses the indwelling Spirit of God is a pledge that God and all of His promises to us will be fulfilled. The indwelling of the Spirit is the down payment of God's future plans for us to bring us to glory. He is the guarantee that God will finish the transaction of our salvation. He will redeem the purchased possession of our bodies, and we will be glorified, and we will receive a resurrected, glorified body where we will dwell eternally in God's presence in heaven. The purpose of God is fixed, and to guarantee it, He gives us the Spirit as a pledge for it all. Our whole person is and will be redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. When God starts something, God finishes it. He brings it to its end. The fact that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that every believer possesses the Holy Spirit, He is the pledge, He is the guarantee that we are glory bound. The Holy Spirit is given to us to show that God is absolutely going to bring us to glory and glorify us, our bodies. And forever we will be testimonies to His grace and His faithfulness to His word and His promises. Our salvation will be complete at that point of the redemption of the purchased possession. And when these physical bodies are the recipient of redemption and glorification at the rapture of the church, and at that moment, all the body of Christ will be in heaven forever. And as it's been said, we are signed, sealed, and we will be delivered. And regarding our salvation, I like this quote. It's been said, God the Father thought it, God the Son bought it, the Word of God taught it, the mind caught it, faith brought it, God the Holy Spirit wrought it, the devil fought it, but I've got it. And we've got it for all eternity. For what the Spirit has done and does for us, Paul says in verse 14 that He is worthy of praise, as he says, unto the praise of His glory. Now back in verse 6, Paul says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And that is a praise to the glory of the Father's grace. In verse 12, we learn, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory. And that is a praise to the Son. Ephesians 1:14 here, it says, unto the praise of His glory, and that His is a praise to the Holy Spirit. So verse 6 speaks of praise to the Father. Verse 12 speaks of praise to the Son. Verse 14 says, praise to the Holy Spirit. Praise to the whole Trinity. The Trinity is involved in our blessing in Christ. Praise the Father for His plans and purposes for the body of Christ from eternity past, for how He would bless us in Christ, for being holy and without blame before Him in love, for us being placed as full-grown sons and being made accepted in His Son and heirs in Him. Praise the Son for our redemption through His blood, having the forgiveness of sins through Him, for Him making known unto us the mystery of His will and giving us a heavenly inheritance for all eternity. And praise the Holy Spirit for sealing us in Christ, for being our earnest, the guarantee of our glorification, the redemption of our bodies. Glory to the triune God for His grace and all He has done for us. Many years ago, a young princess was shielded from the fact that she would be the next ruling monarch of her country, lest this knowledge might possibly spoil her. When she was finally made aware of this fact by a teacher when she was older, the young girl's response was this: "Well, then that will be good." The knowledge of her position changed her outlook on living. And when we realize our glorious and blessed and high position in Christ, it should change our whole outlook on living too. And to strive to do what's right and to obey and please God, who has given us a high position in Christ and blessed us richly in Him. God's grace and all He has done for us in Christ is what truly transforms our lives. Paul goes on in Ephesians 1, 15 and 16 and says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul says here, "Wherefore I also," and this points back to what has already been said. It means for this reason, or on this account, because of this also, in light of all these blessings that believers enjoy in Christ, on account of all that is true of you, he tells the Ephesians in verses 3 to 14, and because of their faith and love, Paul thanks God for the Ephesians and prays for them. And then he prays for further blessing for them, in verses 17 through 23, as we'll look at next time. Paul recognizes the Ephesians' faith in the Lord and love unto all the saints, which he had heard of while he was in prison. He might have heard of that by letter or from friends who visited him in prison. This is how the Christian life is to be lived, very basically, with faith toward God and love toward all. Paul speaks of the believer's vertical relationship, faith in the Lord Jesus, and believer's horizontal relationship, love unto all the saints. The faith Paul speaks of is our day-by-day faith, our daily trust in Him. We're saved by faith, and believers are to live by faith. With confidence, we place our eternal destiny completely in God's hands, that salvation is of the Lord, that He has the power to save, that He has done everything necessary to save us, and we trust Him. So as we place the salvation of our souls completely in His hands, we're taught also then to place our daily life completely in His hands. We are to live trusting Him, live keeping our eyes on Him, trusting the One who is infinitely trustworthy. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, familiar verses, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Trust in Proverbs 3, 5, speak in the Hebrew, it means to rest one's full weight, to put all your weight on. An example would be like when you go to bed tonight, and when you lie down trusting that bed will fully support your weight. Kids, when they're little, they run and they jump into and on to the bed. And then when you get older, you just kind of fall and just collapse into bed. But you don't give it a second thought when you do. You don't do it half-hearted, tentatively wondering if the bed's going to hold you. Tonight, when you go to bed at the end of this day, you won't keep one foot on the floor and put one leg on the bed and test it first so that you can get up if the bed won't support you. You'll just turn, fall, and flop in the bed backwards, putting all your weight on the bed, never doubting that the bed is going to hold you. When you put your trust in God, that's how you're to do it. Put all your weight on Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Trust Him and don't doubt, not questioning, just trusting in His will, His direction, His plan, His wisdom, that He knows what's best. And that's the kind of faith in the Lord that the Ephesians were living by daily. And that's how God wants us to live as we walk by faith. The Ephesian church was demonstrating faith in God and demonstrating love unto all the saints. It's been said rightly that love is the outgrowth of faith. As we live by faith and we grow in Him and in His Word and in His person and character, and we grow by faith in His love, God's love, which has been inworked by the Holy Spirit, is then outworked into our life. The word love here is God's love, agape love. It's God's giving, sacrificial, selfless act of love. And this love by the Ephesians was demonstrated not to just certain saints, as you'll learn about here, love unto all the saints. It's been rightly said, Christian love is indiscriminate. It does not pick and choose which believers it will love. Christ loves all believers, and they are precious to Him. By definition, therefore, Christian love extends to all Christians. In Stockholm, Sweden, a woman was injured as she rushed to catch a streetcar. She stumbled in front of the moving car and was caught beneath it. The police sent for a crane to lift the car off her body. While waiting for the crane, a crowd of people gathered. One man pushed through the crowd, crawled beneath the car, and said to her, "Take my hand." And as she took his hand, she felt his presence and his courage. This calmed her and prevented her from going into shock. After the crane arrived and the woman was released, she said, "I never thought an outstretched hand could mean so much." God has stretched out His hand to help us in our great need. That's what in His grace, that's what we learn about in Ephesians. Out of His great love, He stretched out that hand to help us and provide for us and rescue us from our sins and hell. Love should meet love. His love for us should be met by our love for Him. We love Him because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19 says. Later in this book of Ephesians, we learn how we are to be followers or imitators of God and to walk in love. And so as we imitate God and we imitate His outstretched hand to us in providing for our salvation and helping us in our great need by His grace, practically by grace and in love in our life, we should imitate God and be willing to help others and offer our outstretched hand to them and love others.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.